Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of rush. Is that a rash? Out and I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Everybody good?
Yep.
Welcome back to Definitely Dying, friends. We hope you're having a good week.
I don't.
Yeah, no, Madeline doesn't know.
I'm having a bad week because sometimes you need to have a bad week so then when times get good, you can appreciate it.
Madeline's wishing perspective on you.
Which I guess in its own way is a good week.
It is. It's a very, very, it's a very adult wish for our audience. We don't just want you to have a bunch of happy times. We want you to have just happy enough and sad enough times so that you can really appreciate the good times and good people in your life.
Yes.
Speaking of appreciating the good times in your life, my brother had something happen today that is insane.
Oh, no. Is he okay?
Yes.
Okay.
But he should not be.
Oh, no.
So my brother is my brother's in Europe. My brother is a drum and bass DJ. I think that's the correct nomenclature.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. And I know within the field of electronic music, it can be insulting if you say something wrong.
Sure.
I believe what he does is it's drum and bass.
Okay.
DJ.
And apologies for our ignorance if he doesn't. We are not trying to take a jab at him.
No, we apologize to DJs everywhere. Our bread and butter is the DJ community, and we if you're a DJ, we do wish you a happy day.
Yes.
Everyone else, just perspective.
Yes.
So my brother is in Amsterdam right now. He tours through Europe for a portion of the year doing gigs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's a cool
thing.
As a
drum and bass DJ.
Yes, as would if they
were successful.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, as one would.
Yeah.
As one is wont to do. My brother takes his DJ equipment, which I believe is, at this point, an iPhone,
computer, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's a computer. I don't know. It seems like the equipment is very manageable these days.
Yeah.
So he's in Europe. He's in Amsterdam, or at least Amsterdam adjacent, somewhere somewhere Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And today, a tree fell on top of him. A tree fell on top of my brother. My brother's walking down the street on a particularly windy day,
brother a cartoon?
Possibly. There are things about him that are cartoonish, definitely.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he was just walking. So it's one of these, you know, as is the case often in urban environs, there are just these large planted trees, like, you know, sort of adjacent to the sidewalk.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was just a big enough gust of wind that one tipped over and fell on my brother.
My gosh.
So insane.
That is so insane. Where did it hit him? Did it fall on his head?
I haven't gotten the information directly from him.
Oh, did you get it secondhand from a parent?
No, I got it secondhand from Facebook. I responded on Facebook. So he says, let me pull it up.
Oh,
This is the status update.
Okay.
So a tree just fell on me.
What?
Windy day. I think I survived, unless I'm posting this from heaven. And so then.
Oh, that is the most infuriatingly nonchalant, like, just signal to send out to the whole world when a major problem might have happened to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think he was telling us, you know, that
he's
like,
okay.
Yeah, or that we're all, or none of us are okay.
Or
we're
all
in heaven.
And there's a Facebook in heaven.
Yeah. So,
no.
Yeah. That's how we know that he's okay, because yeah. There's definitely not a Facebook
absolutely
in heaven.
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm. So, let me get to this. it's very funny. That's the thing is that. The way that he worded this, because you know that he's okay.
Yes.
Like immediately when someone posts something on Facebook,
you
know that they're okay.
They lived
to post, you know.
Yes.
So he wrote that people were asking him if he was okay, and his response was, climbed out from underneath it covered in dirt. Climbed out from underneath it covered in dirt. A small crowd had gathered. And then the quote was, "You got lucky, bro."
What?
And of course, I'm his brother, you know. And so, like, you know, I'm his brother who works in comedy in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I have very mixed emotions.
Yeah.
You know? So I responded, "This is scary, and I'm obviously glad you're okay."
Yeah.
But the sentence, "climbed out from underneath it covered in dirt," is very funny. And I got a lot of appreciation in the likes.
Good, very good.
Yeah, or at least you know, more than you would expect from your brother telling you how funny it is that a tree fell on top of you. But it's only funny, obviously, because you know he survived.
Climbed out from underneath. But if it was a big enough tree, I was thinking like maybe a little tree.
Yeah,
but
no.
Like the climbed out from underneath, covered in dirt, both like magnify. Oh, they're pics.
There's pictures.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Zig
pics or it didn't happen. That's where we're at in this day and age.
Wait, this is insane.
Yeah, I'll ask my brother if we're allowed to, but I assume we could post a picture of this.
Oh.
I mean, he posted a picture of it.
And
I
also,
don't know why.
The tree also managed to fall on two bicycles and a boat.
Yeah,
it's like the most Dutch accident I've ever seen.
Yeah, right. No, that's
what?
Super true. Yeah, it seems like anything that falls in Amsterdam would have to hit a bike. Just
it's,
for the sheer number of bikes.
Honestly, these photos are so charming. It's
is
just
my
like
brother
beautiful
your son?
Little canal. It's like just like a little bike, a little houseboat, and then this tree.
My brother had a tree fall on him and inspired Madeline to visit Amsterdam.
I gotta go to that place.
It is
where
quaint.
Instead of a street, there's a river.
It is very quaint in Amsterdam. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
It's great.
Yeah, that's like the most vacation-y tragedy. I feel like that's the kind of thing that, like, had your brother not been traveling, that probably would have been, like, a bad and stressful experience.
Yeah.
But, like, something about being in another place, I feel like, makes me, like, go with the flow more when, like, a bad, scary thing happens.
And I think if you couple that with the fact that he's going to be there long enough so that this isn't going to like ruin his a few days in Amsterdam, like
right,
he's
it's not
going to
be like, "What'd you do in Amsterdam?"
Yeah,
and he'll
had
be
a
like,
"Tree falling,
I got hit by a tree."
Yeah, which people would just assume was some sort of euphemism for smoking weed anyway.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, oh
yeah.
So did
yeah, exactly,
I, bro.
Yeah. You got lucky, bro.
Yeah, I got hit by a bunch of trees there.
You didn't. So my brother is not living a Cheech and Chong movie. He was hit by a toppling over tree, but probably also was hit by the other trees that we were just relating.
Well, I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, me too.
And guys, be careful out there.
Yeah. Don't assume that just because something is stuck in the ground that it can't come for you. I mean, that's one of the big takeaways. If you can leave this podcast with two bits of wisdom. One, get out by nine. Just try to get out by nine.
Just try to get out of here by nine.
And two, just because something is bolted down to the ground doesn't mean that it can't come for you.
Yeah. Should we start the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done our job.
Terrific guest today. One of my favorite things about him is he is with this. Okay, this sounds crazy. I was gonna say one of my favorite things about him is that he's a fan of the podcast, which is not one of my favorite things about this person. There's so many other good things about him. You've seen him on Bajillion Dollar Properties, and he's a household name at UCB. He's on the team Winslow that does a show every Friday at 9:30 at UCB Franklin. He's also someone who I've known since college. It's Mono Agapian.
Yeah.
Hey, Mono.
Hi, guys.
And what I meant to, the reason I brought up that you're a fan of the podcast is because you are one of the people who's been so nice about it. You always make me feel so good about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's, I know this is very common, but it's that weird thing where I feel I've hung out with you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I see you and you're like, hey, what have you been up to? And I'm like, guys, we've been hanging out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't hit reset on the conversation.
So. Well, you've just always been so quiet. Very respectful, but
listener. Yeah.
Today we get to your insides and outs, your death stories.
Cut me up, baby. Yeah.
So then, so you've listened to the podcast, so you know how we start these off. Let's see how the question fits you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Gosh, I'm going to say 6.5.
Ooh. 6.5. I think that's our first not round number.
Seven felt high.
Mm-hmm. Seven does feel high.
Yeah. And I really vacillate. I'm really like, I spiral for like a week or two and then it's gone for like a month.
Hmm.
Like I have peaks and valleys.
What sparks a spiral? Something different every time, or is it like the same sort of thing?
I would say it's very much like different. Every period of my life had a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so the most recent one, the most recent one I feel is, and you guys know that this is like a type of phobia, is just feeling like you have cancer. Or the fear that it's your comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of have this weird feeling of like everything's going too good. Everything's going good, it's time for cancer.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Yeah, I always think about that, like, that, you know, the everything bad or dangerous that you do that won't, like, kill you in the instant they tell you could lead to cancer. So I always feel like that's the comeuppance that I experience. It's just like, look, I quit smoking 3 years ago, but it's I'm still going to die of cancer from it because I did that and I have to be punished. Because otherwise, then smoking wins, you know?
Can I say something that I just realized about myself that's crazy?
Mm-hmm.
I have a similar feeling of, like, when everything's going too good, a bad thing will happen, but I think it'll be a bad thing will happen to somebody else.
Oh.
Because I remember there was like a period in my life, like probably 3 years ago. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Where like, I don't know. I mean, a couple like nice little things had happened in my career. I don't know. Things were, it felt like they were going well. And then my grandma got really sick for months and months and died. And I subconsciously, or I guess now consciously, thought that there was some sort of universal rule where I was like sucking the life and the good luck out of other people for my own good luck.
But a lot of people have that experience. Like when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm thinking of RuPaul, but like RuPaul hit it huge.
Yeah.
Like a month after her mother passed.
Ooh. Really?
Which was like this fucked up, crazy thing of like, but it seems to happen a lot where it's like, it's like almost like, what's the word, changing of the guard?
Oh, yeah.
There's like a weird thing that happens there.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
So you might be right. So don't get too close to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I had like just like an achy hip flexor or like all the time, just like, well, cancer. Cancer is happening.
And do you tend to do something about it or do you just stew in it?
It depends. Like a lot of times, like it depends. If I'm like already spiraling, like I'll like be in bed and I'll be like, okay, just go to the doctor tomorrow and you'll deal with it tomorrow. And then like your whole body's getting anxious. And that whole thing.
Yeah.
But I also went to a doctor and he was like, oh, I think you have an umbilical hernia.
What? Whoa. What is that?
That's when there's like a tiny, so this is the real part of it. And I was like, that's what it is.
That's,
So this is all part, was this all sparked by the achy hip flexor?
I think so. I think they were related.
So can you start from the beginning of achy hip flexor and kind of walk us through it?
Absolutely. Great. So I have an achy hip flexor and I'm like, might be nut cancer. Cause it just feels so close, you know?
Yeah, you're just like, cause is the hip flexor, is that the one in your, like, is that
Near the groin?
Okay.
That like crease that
is
in your groin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, that feels weird. But also, like, my stomach, like, it almost, like, it was maybe attached in a way. Like, it felt close to my stomach. Anyway.
Yeah.
go to the doctor. He's like, you don't have cancer. Because the first thing I yell at my doctor is, cancer!
Yeah.
Do you go to the doctor a lot to ask about cancer?
I think I go probably once every 3-4 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
just to do like a urine and blood sample.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
So they always tell me you don't have cancer.
Wait, yeah. And every 3-4 months you go to get a urine and blood sample to make sure you don't have cancer?
That's basically how they assuage my craziness. Like, that's how they.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's probably too much.
Because you only really need to do that once a year, right?
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
A physical. You're basically getting a quarterly physical.
Yeah. I don't know why, but they were just like, I think that's just like the easiest way for them to calm me down. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's just do this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no harm in it.
And they're like, those will be the most telling tests.
Yeah.
So we'll do this and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. But the truth is, they know as soon as you've walked in. I mean, that was how my fears were assuaged, was just that because I have our Dr. Marshmallow, the general practitioner that Madeline used to go see, that I continue to go see, sort of, haven't gone recently. He's just said, like, if you walked in, if someone your age walked in with cancer, my first reaction would be, oh, shit. And then just, like, you can tell when a person is dying, that, like, that they look like they're dying. Now, there are going to be, now, you can go into a doctor and have them do a test, and they can find something that is like on the verge of becoming an issue, but cancer doesn't work like that. Cancer is the quickie.
That's what I hate about cancer. It's just so often I feel like you hear those stories where it's like it just showed up and no one knew.
Yeah.
So I go to the doctor and all that's happening, and he's like, okay, where do you feel weird? I was like, kind of feels weird here, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, lay down and I'll just like feel around.
Yeah.
And so he's just kind of like feeling around the muscles near the hip flexor, but then sort of creeps towards the stomach muscles. And then he's like, oh, you have an umbilical hernia. And I was like, whoa. I immediately break out. You ever get bad, even slightly bad news? And for me, I get so medical stuff freaks me out. Doctors freak me out.
Yeah.
I tend to hope or believe you can fix yourself. Anyway, it's misguided. But he was like, yeah, you have an umbilical hernia. It's not a big deal. Like, calm down. But I, like, broke out in a sweat.
Yeah,
and get, like,
that
cold sweat all over your body.
Yes.
He's like, it's fine. This is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's particularly normal for me because I had a skin removal surgery.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, in, like, late college.
Whoa.
Because I lost a bunch of weight, and then I had extra skin.
Yeah.
So I had skin removal surgery, and they're like, it's even more normal.
Okay.
For you.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, it's not a big deal. Go away. We'll schedule a consultation. Literally, he was like, it's fine. Go home. And I just fully, like, fell into my own daytime drama.
Yes.
It sounds actually like a David Spade sketch, right? It's fine. Go away. Next person. It's fine. Go away.
Yeah. He's like, it's fine. Like, and my understanding of that procedure is it's very simple. They literally, like, just, like, sew up. Because what's happening is like the muscle is kind of just like, you know, growing apart. And if it's not treated, your intestines can poke through.
What is an
umbilical? This is the umbilical hernia one?
Umbilical hernia.
What's your umbilical? Like, I know what an umbilical. I didn't know umbilical was a word that could be applied to an adult body.
Absolutely.
But just the cord is what you wouldn't apply to an adult body.
Yeah,
the umbilical is probably
What is the umbilical?
It's probably it's somewhere in the belly button.
Somewhere in the tummy.
Oh, umbilical. Wait, Zig's showing it to me.
Zig's showing.
Relating to or affecting the navel or umbilical cord. Wait, so you have like a belly button hernia?
It's not, he's like, so it's not like poking through. Thank God intestines aren't poking through yet. But he's like, this is like, it's feeling like those muscle walls, you know, could be headed towards separating.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not a big deal. Like, literally, like, it's like an in and out procedure.
Right.
Like, you know, they sew you up.
I have
a really bad hernia operation story.
Oh my God, I don't want to hear it.
I don't think I'm going to tell. It was for something more severe.
We have to hear it.
It's really bad. I don't.
Fuck.
This is different.
I'm going to forget it. And even if it's denial.
Different. I just knocked over my empty coffee cup. That's how excited
even
I am.
If it's denial, like, I just want you to know I'm going to process this as denial.
Okay.
So, like, you can tell me and then it'll be fine.
So, my, my dad had a hernia operation. My dad's like a super healthy dude. And like maybe like this was like the year after we graduated, or I guess I graduated from college. So it was in like the summer of 2007.
Okay.
And my dad had, or maybe 2008, that part doesn't matter. But he had a pretty routine hernia surgery, and then they perforated an artery in his stomach and he almost died.
I'm not denying this.
Because he went home and like started what? Like bleeding. He was like, I don't feel so good. And then he basically like went to the bathroom and it was just blood.
Oh.
And my mom had it, like it was faster from my, like it was so urgent. My mom, I was like, get in the car. Like they like didn't have time to call an ambulance. My mom drove my dad to the hospital, and then like they were able, like it was like a big emergency, but they were able to sew him up. And then,
oh fuck my life.
And then the,
and then someone stabbed him.
And no. And then like basically that would, then that it turned into a much bigger surgery to fix that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then like a, and then I think he got another hernia because of all that, you know, shit that happened with the perforated artery. And then when he got that fixed, they messed up so bad that he got an, he got a terrible infection and almost died again.
Go to hell.
No. So I don't know. Read the Yelp review. Honestly, like,
you know what?
The moral of that story is simply get some background on who's doing the surgery and just make sure
I'm gonna ask
people
a lot
are
of
like,
questions.
This is good.
Yeah.
You
okay,
know,
so
like,
let
and
me,
you can Yelp review a doctor now.
Yeah.
Like,
so let me ask you guys this. The guy that I'm going for to see a consultation for, first of all, I'm going to ask a lot of questions, including will you perforate my arteries?
And probably the surgery is so different now, and I truly think my dad was like like a middle-aged man. You know, it's different.
But that's the idea, because we already talked about this on the podcast another time. That's the identical thing that happened to my friend's baby last, like last year.
Louise.
So you don't want to be a baby or an old man. You're in the perfect age
right
for this surgery.
I'm right in the mid. So I'm terrified, but let me tell you guys this.
Yeah.
He's a doctor. He's been doing, he specializes in hernias.
Good.
He does this a lot.
Good. Okay, great.
But wait, he's 72. Now, 72 isn't exactly old.
Right.
But it's just enough for me to picture a doctor.
A girl grandpa.
A shaky grandpa with, like, literally just like a sewing needle.
Yeah. No, it means he started medical school exactly 50 years ago. Right? Because you graduated 22 and then you go to medical school. Yeah, so he hasn't been in school for a long time.
Is he experienced?
He's definitely experienced, but is he good experienced?
It'll,
that's the question.
Know what?
Oh my God.
Have you met him yet?
No, I haven't met him yet.
I feel like your gut reaction when you meet him will be everything. Because 72 also can mean so many different kinds of people.
Absolutely.
A 72-year-old, like one 72-year-old looks like a 50-year-old and another one looks like a shaky grandpa.
Yeah.
Do you want me to come with you? And if I think that it doesn't look right, I'll just pull you out.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're gonna do like the first date assist.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I just had a breakup. We have to leave this doctor's office.
No, I'll just tell this old man straight up, you're not putting your hands on my friend.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, with all due respect, you old bag of bones.
You keep your scalpel away from my friend's umbilical cord.
Oh, you old dust bag. I'll go in. I'll go in on this trained, experienced medical professional.
They put me out just so they can get to you.
So, yeah, that's a reality. We're going to see what that means. So, I mean, long story short, I freak out about that kind of stuff. My boyfriend makes fun of me a lot because he like knows I put this stuff off. Cause like literally when the doctor was like, you don't have to like, this is, you should take care of this, but it's like not pressing. I was like, great. I'm going to put it off for at least a month. But then, you know, I'm going to go get a consultation and see what's, I'm a little bit at the point where I'm like, let's just do this.
Yes.
But I do need to ask questions.
Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How crazy. Can I just ask him, like, have you killed anyone?
Yeah, you can.
Be like, did anyone? Have you made any, like, fatal mistakes?
Right. Yeah.
It's
can
like
I ask that?
The doctor equivalent to check the Carfax. Like, you just got to get a background on this guy. Like,
does he get to plead the fifth?
Yeah, no, I don't think I don't think. Well, actually, probably he's obligated to.
What
or is
you,
there a confidentiality?
Yeah, like how does legality affect confidentiality?
See if you can find something on Google. Say, does a doctor.
Does a doctor have to disclose his kills?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you ask a doctor, if nothing else, ask that doctor if he has to disclose he killed someone.
His kills.
Yeah. That would be a good question for Dr. Laura.
Yeah, it's like a form of doctor entrapment. Like, you're not allowed. Yeah. You have to, look, I'm a patient who's considering getting this umbilical surgery, and I need to know how many people you've killed while doing it. And I'm being straight up with you. I'm not trying to bait you into anything. I just want to know your kill rate.
Right.
Yeah, find out.
He just like Clue style opens a trap door and escapes. I wonder, is it like cop narc rules? Like if a cop is pretending to be a high schooler, right? Is that a true thing that cops, when you ask, are you a cop, they have to say?
Yeah, that's entrapment. Yeah,
really? Okay. That's true, or that's not just for the movies?
No, they have. I mean,
that's what entrapment is.
Well, I think it's attempting to bait someone into a crime by not admitting that, like, you're doing it for the purposes of arresting them. So it's not exactly entrapment, but it would fall in the category of an illegality on a cop's part, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but just logically that sounds right, right? Like that. Otherwise, they're just, I mean, that's... That was a terrible thing to do if you're a cop. It's like, I mean, it's like the, I mean, I know that like the speed trap kind of thing is a sort of an example of that. But like the idea that you would like try to convince someone to commit a crime is
Oh, I wouldn't put it past them.
No.
That's my current medical worry thing. But a weird thing about me, and tell me how you guys are on this, like, is that like I am half. I need, like, half of me is like, oh, I want medical attention. I want the smartest opinion.
Yeah.
And then the other half of me is like, people heal themselves. Yeah. Your body takes care of itself. Don't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
How do you balance that? Or do you?
Yeah. Because I'm sort of those same two minds myself where, like, I'll, like, always be ready for, like, a horrible thing to be happening to me. But at the same time, I have, like, I, like, never get a flu shot. I have a deep distrust of, like, of medicine and doctors. That's only increased, basically, like, as I've gotten older and most doctors are my age and I realize, like, everybody's a little dumb.
Right.
I'm like, ugh, we're all, it's like it's all just people kind of trying, like, taking a stab at what might be wrong with you.
Yeah. Totally.
And I feel like, unless it's something terrible, mostly your body can do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This one doctor who very calmly told me to get out of here when I had holes in my stomach, he said something that I try to remember that was pretty helpful, where he was like, let your body talk. That's what he was like. Your body's gonna talk. Let your body talk.
Is he trying to seduce you? Very romantic.
The lighting was exquisite.
It seems like how you teach someone to like do a tango.
Let your hips talk.
He was wearing a satin scrubs. So what? Who cares? Dr. Fernando Lagando. That's a teen witch. Yeah. I can't take credit for that. Teen witch, there's a sexy Latino character named Count Armando Lagando. Everyone watch Teen Witch.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
No matter what joke we could possibly make, we couldn't top that.
You can't top that. Hell yes.
Have you seen Teen Witch,
Madeline?
No. You would.
It's a very bad, very good movie.
Love it. Come to my house after this. We're watching it.
Great. Done.
But
that goes for all of you.
Everyone. Come over whenever. But he's like, let your body talk. When your body screams, come to the doctor.
I thought that was helpful.
Just to be like, oh yeah, your body's supposed to talk.
Yeah.
You will know when it's screaming.
Yeah. Sometimes you're listening to your body because everything else is too quiet. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes. That's yes.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
that's good advice. Dr. Fernando.
That's great advice.
Fernando.
When it screams, come to the doctor. Yeah. That's what you go. When your body screams.
I'm telling you, he gives the quick prescriptions and great head. He's a fantastic. He's fine.
So you did something before you came in to record the podcast that I loved, where you like kind of gave us a little bit of a roadmap of your like hypochondria history.
Yes.
You've kind of like given us a little bit of your today relationship with like hypochondria. Do you mind kind of starting at the beginning and like
Let's
walking through some of that, because it was all pretty interesting. I have so many questions about it.
Yeah. So I think my first, because this is my first big medical thing, was my brother pushed me into a fireplace. my brother pushed me into the fireplace at our home.
Wait, was there fire in it?
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I should say, like, the fireplace ledge.
Oh,
but
like
it was
the
a
mantle,
high ledge.
Like,
so basically, my fireplace has like a brick.
Like the mantle?
A brick seat.
Oh.
In front of the fireplace.
Okay, yes.
So he pushed me into the brick, like a pointy, jutting brick.
Yeah.
And my head started bleeding.
Ooh.
How old were you?
Young, like 5 or 6.
Oh, no.
And I remember my mom flipping her shit.
Yeah.
Because I mean, actually just so justifiably, your kid's head is bleeding at 5. It's just like, you're not a quit.
Yeah. And also like a little kid's head soft.
Right?
Like, I remember like when I was a kid and my little brother was born, I was maybe in second grade, my youngest brother, I was fully obsessively paranoid about his head because I learned about soft spots.
Uh-huh.
And I was obsessed that I would break my little brother's brain his soft spots.
And you did you pick him up or no?
I would pick him up, but so gingerly. And I would be like, did I touch his soft spots?
Yeah, I get that.
Anyway, but
carrying babies still scares me.
Yeah. So your little brother pushed you.
Pushed me, my head's bleeding.
Yeah.
Everyone's flipping out, and I remember it was Halloween or the night before Halloween, and I'll tell you why I remember that. We go to the ER, and I remember before I was seen, I remember SNL was playing on the TV, but there was no sound on, and John Lovitz was playing a vampire character, and to this day, I have never heard what happens in that sketch. And I still think about it. Like, I'm sure I could find it, I don't know. I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, we're in this ER and they just want us to look at SNL. Anyway, they see me and of course I'm like, this sucks, right? Yeah. But I didn't realize how serious it was until I was face down, like on a medical table, and they're just like, hold still.
Oh no.
We're going to, I think they use, because they're stitches and staples, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Staples
I think they stapled my head a couple times.
Ooh.
So they were like, hold still. This is going to be rough.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And that was my first, I was like 5 or 6, so I had not felt pain like that before.
And they didn't even have time to numb it or whatever. They
numbed it. It's blurry to, but I definitely remember being held head down. My mom just being like trying to be as kind as possible of like, it's okay, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But then just the sensation of that staple pushed down on your head and it hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably comparable to just a shot, but it hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And at that age, they can't give you full, they can only localize the numbing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, especially in your head, you'll just die. You're 5 years old.
Yeah.
You can't take anesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my first brush with, oh my God, stuff can happen to you.
Yeah.
Like stuff can happen to you. That's insane.
Were you a fearful kid?
Very risk averse.
Yeah.
Really?
And that may have probably had a hand in it. Like, I didn't do roller coasters. I barely did sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that was because I was incredibly gay or what, but I was risk averse from the jump. I was just willing to have no story than a good story.
Was your mom risk averse on your behalf? Like, was she afraid of you doing things?
She was, yeah. She's an ethnic, overbearing mother. So, yeah, she's pretty risk averse. She's the kind of person who, wants you to have a jacket when you are leaving the house in July. You know? And it's like, you'll freeze.
Yeah.
I won't.
Mono's mom, if you're listening, he's wearing his mittens right now. He's being a good boy.
Yeah, that was very much that. So, yeah, she was pretty cautious, too. Probably too much. She actually was also kind of someone who was like, she would tell us to be careful when she was having what she thought were premonitions.
Oh, nice.
She was like, I have a bad feeling today.
I love that.
Be very careful today. I don't feel good about today. And of course, sometimes she would like fulfill that prophecy.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah.
She'd be like, I felt bad that day when that bad thing happened. I'm like, okay, mom. So yeah, I was totally risk averse. My brother was very wild.
Oh, okay.
The one who pushed you? Do you have one brother?
One brother, yep. Yeah. He was wild. One time he let our dog, he was on a skateboard.
Your dog or
my brother was on a skateboard holding our young Labrador retriever on a leash. And he was like, I'm going to let Buster drive me. And I was like, don't do that. That's a just patently awful idea.
Classic bad idea.
Yeah, he very much broke his leg.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
That's not the injury that I would have guessed for that one. I would have guessed a maimed face.
Yeah,
I would have guessed
like a right? scraped up face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was early on. My brother's 4 years older.
Okay. Mm.
My brother's 4 years older. So then, like, I guess the next time my body was being bad was, I think, high school. And I basically discovered I was very lactose intolerant.
Oh.
Very lactose intolerant. And but it's also my fault because I was eating so poorly. There were days where I was eating 4 grilled cheeses a day.
Like in one meal or for every meal?
No, like that for lunch and dinner. That was breakfast. Like my ideal was like, I'm just going to eat grilled cheeses all day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great.
It's delicious.
Like, it's a nice way to eat.
But. It's so good. Like a really smashed grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Where it's just buttery.
Full of butter. Oh, yeah. Oh.
There's dairy in every meal until you get into your 20s. Like, there's no question. There's bread and dairy in every single meal. And for the longest time, that's just like your parents just decide you just have to eat something because you have to grow into a human being. Yeah. And then we don't realize until all of a sudden, like, a person gains, like, you know, 20 pounds in, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't eat dairy and bread in every single meal.
That's who they should be going after. This whole dairy, the whole dairy campaign should be like, you're young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah.
What was the Trump, what's the Trump quote that everyone's going after these days? The milk people thing? Local milk people? Is that what it is?
What is this?
He couldn't remember the term dairy farmer, and he called them local milk people. In an interview with I don't know who it was with. Yeah, local milk people.
Milk people sounds like a cult. I love that. Milk people. So I was very lactose intolerant. My body was bad. And this is so gross.
Yeah.
Like, this is something I don't even know if I've told my boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Gene.
Tune out for the next 5 minutes. Zick, can you make this gene-proof for the next 5 minutes?
Can you gene-proof it? Nice specific, Ben. I love it. This is so gross, and it was very alarming. Okay, I was so lactose intolerant. Are you guys ready? Like, this is crazy. Yeah.
I hope it's about poop.
It's about poop.
Because that's my favorite topic to chat about.
I was pooping. Oh, yeah, you got it. Ben's got the trash can ready. I was pooping mucusy poops.
Like clear mucus?
Like
or
clearish.
Like thick.
Yellowish mucusy poops.
Whoa.
And I was like, what's happening to my body?
Yeah.
That makes my heart stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I thought an alien was in my body, but it turns out I'm so lactose intolerant that my body was passing the lactic acid.
Whoa.
Instead of digesting it.
Oh, so you were just basically mucusing out lactic acid.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
That is insane.
Isn't that disgusting? And like, it was so gross.
How did you, like, did you tell some, like,
I was like, have to.
You're like, this is a problem.
I knew. I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got my mom to take me to a doctor.
Yeah.
But then the gross part was what I had to, like, harvest poop for them.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You like
my
what you hear, Gene?
Yeah. you didn't know about my poop harvesting days. You looking for someone who can take a little piece of feces, put it in a little cup? Yeah. Wee.
You knew I cultivated poop. You knew I sowed poop. You didn't know about the harvest.
Harvest is near. Sorry, you were saying.
Oh, no, I just remember, like, one of my little brothers
had to
was lactose intolerant, not not mucus, not like poop mucus level, but I do remember poop harvesting time.
Yeah. Poop harvest was a pun. Your family.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if you had an infection, too. That sounds so insane.
Does that sound crazy?
Yeah.
How long was that going on before you were like,
If I'm being honest, probably a week or two, if I'm being fully honest. Because I was like, that's weird.
No, that's good that you...
Yeah, I was like, the body's a weird thing. And then I was like, this is too weird.
Yeah.
This is too weird.
Yeah.
Did you ask other people if it had happened to them?
I didn't.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a hard one to ask. That's why I wondered.
Like, oh, my God. High school.
No. Is your poop?
No. I was already chubby and closeted. Like, the last thing I needed to be was, wait, you're mucus poop boy too? You're also mucus poop boy? Kill yourself.
That was the worst doctor you had.
Mucus
kill yourself.
In Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Honestly, that probably would have been the thing everybody felt nicest about.
I know.
Maybe the hierarchy probably would have been, they would have been like, chubby would have been fine, mucus poop, and then gay.
Yeah.
At the Rite Aid, there would be like one of those jars on the counter to raise money for mucus poop boy. Yeah. It would put like their nickels in there. It would all go to you in the end.
I forgot about those little quarter things.
When like a cheerleader in your town got sick, we all had to give our quarters.
A lot of sick cheerleaders, huh? That's so funny. That was too much splitting. So that was high school.
Yeah. Wow.
But then I got back the part of me that like thinks like I can heal myself is like when I lost a bunch of weight.
When was that?
That was in late high school, early college.
And tell me more about that. How did that happen? What was it like a very conscious decision? What inspired that?
Yeah, it was a conscious decision. I always joke, but it's very true. I was fat and gay, and I knew one had to go. I was like, both is too many.
I like the other world where you went to like conversion therapy and got fatter and fatter.
Yes. Yes.
Twinkie away the pain.
What's up, guys?
You're laying dead in a crane.
I've got a wife. It's harvest time.
It was definitely conscious. I was just like, I want to do this. Yeah. I want to figure out what that's like. It was over a course of a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then avoiding dairy was a huge part of my body being happier.
Yes.
And I think that was just a part where I was like, oh, wow, the body can fix itself. Like the body can take care of itself if you help. And that really reinforced the other side of me that's just like, don't go to doctors.
Yeah.
Right.
Take care of yourself. Put good stuff in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, I feel like so few people have that experience so young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just that idea, like that experience of realizing that like you can be a little nice to your body and then like it'll kind of take care of you and you'll like feel pretty good.
Right. But I was a little oblivious of how much bounce back your body has at that time.
Because
right in college, Madeline, we were also eating Poke Sticks.
Yes.
Hello.
Well, I wasn't because I didn't have fun.
You didn't have a Poke Stick?
I feel that I did not have a Poke Stick
until
the year that I graduated from college but was still living in Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, met all Ben's friends, and they were fun. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of good and fun.
Uh-huh.
But I got fat in college just from eating with my one roommate at the dining hall during the daytime.
We talking Ram's Head or Lenoir?
Lenoir.
Yes. I get that.
Yeah.
Get that.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's so easy. It's just so all easy. There.
Yeah, and it's all there.
It's all there, and you feel like you should take advantage of it.
So
where were we?
So you were saying you didn't appreciate how much bounce back the body has.
Now being a little bit more of an adult, I'm now a little more aware of how you have to be more accountable for the good stuff you put in your body.
Yes.
I think I just didn't realize, because at the time I could work out, eat semi-kind of healthy and still lose weight.
Because your
metabolism is just cool at that age.
Definitely.
And now we're adults and we have to like actually think about it. Just think about it a little more. Because I was eating crazy.
How much do you think about what you eat on a regular basis today? Is it?
Yeah, both. Split.
Yeah.
I think it's like you gotta have fun because we're just bags of meat and water. Yeah. And like if the comet comes tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've been counting calories.
Yeah,
you're gonna be so bummed out.
Yes.
Or I always dream about getting killed by a piano falling on me. That would be so fun. I don't know why. It's just like if you're gonna go out.
Yeah.
Go out huge.
A piano drop from a very high height.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you just get your head squashed.
Yes.
And you'd have to like roll around for the rest of your life.
So being in college and I like lost weight, right?
Yeah.
The next little paranoia came from I was gay and I was, you know, getting freaky deaky.
Yeah.
With gentlemen on college campus. And also, like, I was, it was like the first time I had in my life I had been a sexual being. Yeah, first time. And it was actually kind of like middle school for me in terms of like, I didn't learn any of the dating rules early on.
Yes.
I only learned them when I came out in college.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
This is your coming of age.
Yeah.
So with that came, I thought every kiss or even stupid over the clothes dry hump was like, well, I have AIDS now.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why, but like being gay, it feels like it's gonna get you.
Yeah.
Well, the world did that. I mean, we weren't allowed to go in hot tubs because it was believed that like that anal sex was like leaving AIDS semen in hot tubs.
Wow.
And it's insane. Like you look back on it now
it's
and you're
insane.
Like, that's utterly insane.
Yeah.
But that was a thing that was going around in my lifetime, the lifetime that I can like recall as a conscious being.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Oh, and did you?
That's nuts.
Did you have sex ed or were you in a no sex ed high school?
No, I had sex ed.
Yeah.
But I definitely remember them telling us lies.
Yeah. And a lot about scary AIDS. Well, what kind of things were you? Because I had sex ed, but it was like in the Northeast and like it was like not sex positive by any means, but like it was, the thing I remember about AIDS is you can't get it from a toilet seat.
Yeah.
I remember like that was like the big catchphrase about like the only not scary thing about AIDS is like you can't get AIDS from a towel or a toilet seat.
Right.
But what kind, like.
I just remember the lies of like, they definitely lied about like syphilis and stuff like that and gonorrhea and how. Trust me, guys, super curable it is.
Because,
they made syphilis sound like it's, a death sentence.
Yeah.
When reality is, you just pop four little white pills and it's like, don't have sex for a week.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super chill to have syphilis.
It is so crazy how scary they make everything.
But I still just feel that scariness. Like, no matter what I did, even if I was safe, just being like, I don't know, something could have gotten in or around, etc.
Yeah.
And I just felt like for years, all the way up, really, honestly, when I'm not in a relationship, I feel like it's going to get me.
Yeah.
AIDS?
Yeah. AIDS.
Okay.
Like AIDS is going to get me.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I think it's more of a pressure as a gay person, even though any and everyone can have it. It just feels more like it's in the queer community.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, No, I mean, I think that the when it, in the 80s, I mean, I think that's just the byproduct of its origins, is that we just decided it was a, the world decided that it had something to do with, and you won't be able to hear the quotation marks that I'm putting up, so I'm just going to tell you, that it had something to do with sin lifestyles, you know, that it was like a, you know,
totally.
So yeah, I feel like it will always linger. I mean, that memory of AIDS will always linger.
Well, and it doesn't help that like all movies about AIDS are about gay people having AIDS too. Like, or it feels like, you know, all of our exposure of to AIDS, you know, that's like in the media is mostly, you know, it's like you rarely see a movie about like just a nice old straight lady who had AIDS.
I think
like,
Philadelphia was the last AIDS movie that came out in present day. And then since then, they're all about the 80s. They're all about the origin of AIDS.
Uh-huh.
And that sort of what I was saying a second ago, the idea that it was there was a time when AIDS was believed to be perpetrated on people, you know, like that. That, you know, there are still people that believe the government
that it's
created
a conspiracy. That's wild. It's very scary.
It's such a scary thing. Well, my mom like lived in New York City in the 80s and did like was in acting school and just like it's such a real, like, when I always forget, and I'll like bring it up in a casual way, and she'll be like, yeah, I remember when all my friends were dying.
Yeah.
You know, or just like every, or like so many friends of friends. It was like just
so scary.
Like in like the early 80s, it was just a thing. And yeah, she remembers actually being scared to like use someone's towels because nobody had the right info. Mm-hmm. Like, uh-huh, she, you know, she'd be like in a house of someone whose like boyfriend had just died of AIDS or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she would be like,
just
like
feeling like it
I
might be a
we
ghost.
We can't touch anything.
Like
or,
it
I don't
might
know.
Be a paramour.
Yeah.
It's in.
AIDS ghost. Yeah.
No, I feel you. I feel you. It's very, yeah, very scary. I always think about like when I came out to my mom, and she very dramatically, of course, made it kind of her issue when she said, "If you ever got sick, it would destroy me."
That's what she said.
Yeah,
was
yeah,
that
yeah.
her first? Was how
that was yeah. like? I want to say that's like four sentences in.
That's
pretty
insane.
Early
she
in.
She was like, I have a bad feeling about this day yeah. and
oh,
all
no.
the rest of your day.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, that was just funny. That was just always blue. I always thought about that of like, I can't. Or I just wouldn't tell her. I just wouldn't tell her. We are very lucky to be living in an age where it is no longer a death sentence.
Yeah.
It
true.
Is just a regular prescription. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty,
this is
pretty
very
wild.
True. Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
wild.
That's all.
And, yeah, and I guess then after that, after that, then I'm thinking of very present day, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which is recent. This is right
yes.
to today.
Yes.
But me and Betsy won't stop playing the video game Friday the 13th. And it's a video game where you are either Jason uh-huh. or one of the counselors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you're either running away from Jason, uh-huh. hiding from him, trying to call the uh-huh. cops, uh-huh. trying to escape via a uh-huh. boat or uh-huh. car, or you're Jason and you're killing everyone. Uh-huh. And it is such a terrifying game.
It sounds so scary.
Yeah, it's kind of fucking me up in terms of like now like I'm in a room and I'm like, if Jason came in, like what would I grab? Yeah. Or like if a murderer came
sure,
in, what would
yeah.
you grab to like hit him or something? Do you guys have like things in your house to hit an intruder with?
No.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the thing to hit an intruder with. So like, I'm a yeah. giant person, guys. but yeah, I have a bat. Like
yeah.
an aluminum bat.
Yeah,
I should have a bat.
Sure.
I would get so scared to hit, like, that feeling of contact, I think, would like really
yeah.
scare me.
You got to know where to hit them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never want to hit anyone in the head. That makes a terrible sound.
Really?
It's also it's also similar. We've talked about it on the podcast before. It's the Holden Caulfield thing.
Yeah,
you look someone
yeah.
in the eyes and they're a human to you. You hit them in the knee. Take them down.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Because then they can't chase you.
I should get a bat.
Me and Betsy are looking on Amazon right
now. For a
bat? Yeah.
you're doing a lot of you're
There's
doing a
nice
lot of pricing
aluminum one.
Yeah, get an aluminum.
Aluminum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good impact.
Can't splinter as much.
Oh, that's I got the last time I can remember being like that, like getting murder scared from like media consumption was when I watched Dexter, which is like a long time ago.
Yes.
But like I remember
the pilot is terrifying.
Yes. And everybody's bad in a sneaky way in Dexter. Uh-huh. Like, or I mean, like, the people who you, like, don't think are bad. Like, I think it was, like, I was in the middle of watching maybe the John Lithgow season where, uh-huh. like, mm-hmm. you know, he's, like, such a sneaky bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at my aunt's house, like, because I was binge watching it with my family over Christmas. And I was, like, remember, like, my aunt and I were, like, doing a girls' night. And we were, like, watching movies at her house. And, like, she had to go out for some reason. Mm-hmm. And, like, took longer coming back, and I was 100% stone cold confident she had been murdered, like, which is very implausible.
Yeah.
But I was just like, well, she definitely like got
She's
Dexter,
toast.
Like she got Dexter, she got murdered,
yeah.
like, and it was just because I had been like spending so much time in this world where.
Yeah.
When a person doesn't come back when they're supposed to, it is because they got murdered.
Yeah, I got scared during like the first 5 minutes of the pilot of Dexter
yeah,
and
yeah.
stopped watching. Also, it didn't help that this was like the summer I moved out here.
Yeah.
And I was in the Oakwoods.
Oh.
And I was trying to sleep
spooky,
in my
yeah.
dark,
Ugh.
Carpeted
Blech.
Little studio.
Yeah.
And I could feel the baby celebrity ghosts like flying around. Like,
yes,
there's just
yes.
a bad energy there.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, can't.
Yeah.
I can't watch Dexter and be at the Oakwoods.
No, because the Oakwoods is like new ghost haunted too. It's yeah. like there's no ancient widow like mm-mm. haunting. It's like some bit like
it's like a 90s kid ghost wearing a beanie.
Yes.
Ugh.
Manu, do you want to play a game?
Oh my god, I love games.
Oh, great. Okay. So this is a game kind of based on, or not based on, but like inspired by I feel like our mutual love of junk food and specifically Taco Bell.
Oh my god, I love you yeah. guys.
I like love garbage food and I like have a very two-minded relationship with
panda.
It too.
Like mm-hmm. me and you have bonded mm-hmm. over some panda.
Yes.
But keep
yes.
going.
Ugh, I just love garbage.
I want to say one time we had panda and we both were like convincing each other like we feel fine.
Yeah, this is fine.
We feel fine.
This
it was just rice.
Just fine. It's just rice. It's like just some steamed veggies. It's just some like crispy shrimp covered in syrup.
In
like,
honey sriracha sauce.
Yeah, I love that honey sriracha sauce.
Yum.
I love it and I love McDonald's the most. McDonald's is my hands down favorite.
You know T-Bell's
I
mine.
Just, mm-hmm. I know about your affection for Taco Bell. So what I'm going to do is, and this is, this both of you will play. It's a little bit of a, like a little bit of a variation on the game that we play where we give you a weird ailment and you guess what syndrome it is.
Okay.
I'm going to give you guys a list of ingredients in a Taco Bell item, and I want you to try to guess what that item is. And you're going to have to bear with me because there are many ingredients in all of these.
Oh, no.
They contain so many ingredients. So I'm going to breeze through them and try not to take too long.
Okay.
But take note. Okay. So your first one, I'm going to give you some ingredients. I want you to tell me what menu item this is.
This is
going to
be especially challenging because we all know so many of the menu items are interchangeable.
Yes.
But I'm excited.
Yes. Okay. Beef, water, seasoning, cellulose, chili pepper, maltodextrin, salt, oats, soy lecithin, tomato powder, sugar, onion powder, citric acid, natural flavors including smoke flavor.
Fuck.
Torula yeast, cocoa, disodium.
That's, by the way, MSG.
Oh, really?
It's another word for MSG.
Oh, torula yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know. Disodium. Inosinate and guanylate, dextrose, lactic acid, modified cornstarch, salt, sodium phosphates, milk, cream, cornstarch, lactic acid, more maltodextrin, cellulose gel, potassium sorbate, cellulose gum, locust bean gum, carrageenan, vitamin A,
oh my God.
Fresh tomatoes, ground corn, vegetable oil, corn flour, seasoning, salt, maltodextrin, cornstarch, tomato powder, lactose, whey, skim milk, corn syrup solids, onion powder, sugar, garlic powder, monosodium glutamate,
oh
cheddar
my
cheese,
God.
Dextrose, malic acid, buttermilk, natural and artificial flavor, sodium acetate, sodium caseinate, spices, citric acid, disodium isonate, and guanylate, red 40, blue 1, yellow 5, 6 lake, TBHQ, contains milk.
Oh, my God.
Fresh Eichsberg lettuce, cheddar cheese. And we're almost done. We're almost done. We're
what
basically...
if you ordered like this at the drive-thru? Like, I get as a political statement.
It's like the next logical. I could see someone passing a law, like similar to the, like you have to print calories. Like, like all menu items must be presented as their ingredients. Cheddar cheese, which just if you wanted to know what is in that at Taco Bell, it's pasteurized milk, salt, enzymes, annatto, anti-caking agent. What is that? What menu item?
And that's a menu item.
Yes.
Yeah, so that has
that's like something like, you could order. That's like a it's not as granular as it's like something it's not just beef. It's like a whole it's something you would order at Taco Bell.
I have a guess.
Do you have a
Yeah, I guess. But I feel like that's too many components. Like it's there were like seven different things in there that you gave us ingredients on.
Yes.
Like I think we
So you're objecting to the game.
Well, no, my feeling was that your first like everything that you described at first was the ground beef. And then all of a sudden it started switching into like I thought you were just going to give us, like, we would tell you the ingredients in, like, a shell or something.
But,
like,
I, so I, that's, like, well, it feels we like can, that's, I mean, there there's, are like, many 50 different questions, so, yeah.
But this is a whole item.
This is a whole item.
Okay, I have a guess.
Okay, what's your guess?
My guess is Doritos Locos Crunchy Taco Supreme.
Why?
You said cream or milk, and I know the beef is a bunch of weird ingredients, and then the amount of MSG that was in it.
Do you have a guess?
I was going to guess the Dorito Loco Taco, too. I didn't necessarily go with the Supreme, but it had, yeah, it definitely had, like, a, it had beef in it. It had a cheese-based shell. It had cheese in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It has lettuce.
Yeah.
So you're saying it has, like, sour cream in it, too, and
yeah,
stuff
I thought
like
I heard
that.
Cream or something. Yeah.
So maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that's my guess. And we're on a team together, right?
Oh, I
or
guess
not.
So.
Yeah, you. It's sure. like
Whatever.
A little bit like this. Like, okay, it's like say, what's shaken baby
yeah,
syndrome,
yeah.
and that
yeah,
you
we're
guys
on the
can
same
come
page.
Up,
yeah.
cannot come with it together.
Let's say
yeah.
let's say the Dorito yeah. Loco Supreme.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you have a just to remind you
flavor?
Yeah, do you have a flavor?
Nacho cheese.
Yeah, nacho cheese.
Oh my God. You were so close. It's,
fuck!
It's a Cool Ranch
no!
Doritos Locos Taco, and it is the Supreme.
The Supreme, nice, yeah.
Mono, you almost
yeah,
literally
got it, exactly.
nailed it exactly.
Oh, my God, Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch.
Dang it.
There was a chance with the buttermilk that was... that
buttermilk.
Oh, buttermilk.
Buttermilk.
But that's
amazed.
Also in the... I know buttermilk is in the...
Probably.
In the nacho one also.
Probably,
it's just
yeah.
a thickening agent. Yeah.
Also, fun fact, cellulose is wood pulp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. So it's like a little bit of like kind of like paper or wood.
Yeah, it's just a calorie-free filler.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wood.
Woohoo.
Fun.
New. All right. Enriched wheat flour, water, vegetable shortening, sugar, salt, leavening, molasses, dough conditioner. I'll spare you the chemicals in dough conditioner. Calcium propionate, sorbic acid and or potassium sorbate, contains wheat, chicken, water, seasoning, including modified tapioca starch, salt, spices, natural flavors, carrageenan, disodium, isonate and guanylate, sugar, torulose, citric acid, maltodextrin, garlic powder, dextrose, onion powder, sodium phosphates, pinto beans, soybean oil, seasoning, salt, sugar, spice, beet powder. Natural flavors, sunflower oil, maltodextrin, corn flour, trehalose, modified cornstarch, water, seasoning, including maltodextrin as always, but modified cornstarch, paprika, salt, tomato powder, spices, natural flavors, paprika, onion powder, xanthan gum, malic acid, vitamin C, citric acid, MSG, tomatoes, onion, cilantro, water, vinegar, lemon juice, salt, xanthan gum, fresh tomatoes, fresh iceberg lettuce, fresh onions.
Wow.
What menu item do you think? I was going to give you an easier one, but you nailed that one so hard that I'm really this is really testing your knowledge of the Taco Bell menu.
There's chicken and beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's chicken.
And I think it's going to be one of the softer items because it had something that.
Dough conditioner.
Yeah, dough conditioner. I feel like it. I don't know the items that well. I want to say gordita. Is gordita the one that has like the thick, soft
yeah,
shell?
Yeah, gordita's a soft one, and then chalupa's the fried version of that soft one.
Okay. So
you know what I mean?
The thick dough is, that's a gordita?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my first guess would be a chicken gordita.
Chicken
I was waiting
gordita.
To hear if there was anything that
but
suggested
wait,
a crunch, but I didn't.
Here's why I think you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's beans on it.
But there's no beans in the
I don't think
gordita.
There's beans.
Okay. Truly so
yes, and
educative.
So maybe it's a burrito?
I think it's a burrito or a quesarito.
Oh, I don't even know what a quesarito is.
But there wasn't that much cheese, was there? Because quesarito is like the cheese-wrapped burrito. So maybe this is a chicken burrito supreme?
Was there anything in it that suggested sour cream?
No, but I heard tomatoes, onions, and cilantro, so we could have fresco style on our hands. it's tough. It's tough. Let's just try it.
If you need any reminders, you can always ask. Like if you want to know it, like remember if something's in there.
Yeah.
What were you saying? So chicken.
I think it's either a burrito. I think it's not. I don't think it's a quesarito. I think it's a burrito, a chicken burrito, supreme, or chicken burrito fresco.
I feel like there's. Tomatoes in the non-supreme chicken.
It's possible. Yeah, man. Yeah. This is. Oh, was there rice though? I don't know if
there
was rice.
Is that in the burrito?
Did you? Is there an ingredient that's rice?
No.
Well,
chicken and beans. Is there any way it could be like nachos, topped nachos?
Oh, chicken. I didn't feel like there was tortilla chips in there though. No. It feels like there's something.
Yeah,
soft.
You're right. Dough conditioner.
Well, so I think maybe it is a burrito.
I'm gonna follow your lead on this one.
Why don't we? Let's just say the what's that one that they grill? The burrito they grill?
The Mexi Melt?
Yeah. So that has, no. The grilled stuff burritos. So that has rice in it, right? Oh, maybe it's an
enchilada. It could be an enchilada.
Let's call it a chicken enchilada. Let's say that. Okay. We're going to
say chicken enchilada. Okay.
And can you, but I feel like you also have, what were you going
to? My alternate is Mexi Melt.
No, okay. Mexi Melt's the one with chili.
Oh,
oh
it is?
My gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it?
You said it
I
before.
I said it. Shit.
You said it before.
Was it a quesarito?
It is a fresco burrito supreme.
Oh, wow.
With chicken.
I knew it.
Good work.
It's insane
that
how,
I knew that.
Yeah. You were just like, it was like a Beautiful Mind style where you were like, oh, I don't know. Like, it's,
zero,
well,
one,
it's my,
zero,
well,
one.
There's it. There isn't any chicken. All of your conclusions were so correct.
Damn.
That it is a fresco.
I'm fine with being wrong,
burrito.
Especially since I said it. I've sort of said it, you know?
Okay. Last but not least.
Okay, here we go. I hope this is really fun for everyone listening.
Honestly, it's really fun for me because you know this menu better than I even thought you
if
would.
If nothing else, Gabrus and Betsy can play along.
Oh, you know, we have Gabrus is going to come on.
Ooh.
And maybe we'll give him another addition. We'll see if he does better or worse. Okay, diced tomatoes, including juice, tomato puree, jalapeno peppers, onions, cilantro, bell pepper, salt, garlic, vinegar, cumin, citric acid, white ground corn with fumaric acid, cellulose gum, sodium propionate, and sorbic acid, canola oil.
White ground corn is the only one that threw me off.
Yeah, up until that point, it just sounded like hot sauce.
Is it just chips and salsa?
It definitely sounds like there's no cheese in that, right?
No.
So
I think it's just, that's my guess, is chips and salsa, white ground corn. Yeah, I think it's chips and salsa or chips and a Taco Bell sauce packet. But chips and salsa feels like the more likely.
Yeah. Do they do a chips and salsa? Or do they just do, I know they do the cheese sauce.
Like chips and pico. Or no, is it chips and salsa or chips and pico de gallo?
I don't know. I've never ordered that there.
White ground corn.
So that's got to be the chips. That's just chips, right?
That's chips, and everything else was like tomatoes.
Yeah, everything else was like it was just a salsa. They were salsa ingredients, but like Taco Bell salsa, like not natural ingredients for salsa.
Right.
But I just don't know if Taco Bell even claims
tomato
to make a salsa.
Tomato puree. There was tomato puree.
Yeah, so it's got to be thick, and which is different than the sauces, which are very runny.
Yeah.
Chips and salsa?
We'll say chips and salsa. Pico? Hell yeah. Chips and salsa.
Okay, chips and salsa.
You guys, it's chips and salsa.
Yay!
We did it.
Yeah, it's chips, and it's specifically not chips and pico.
Uh-huh.
It's chips and their fire-roasted salsa.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
I was going to give you a sauce packet. That was another. Maybe I'll save it for Gabrus, maybe. Because
nice.
The sauce packet does have a whole different set of ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks very different than the
for
salsa.
For sure, some sodium benzoate. Yeah. That was so fun for me.
That was great. You did a great job.
Really, you were really excellent at it.
Yeah, you did a very good
Thank
job.
Thank you so much. I've had a lot of Taco Bell.
Tell our listeners where to find you and what you'd like to plug.
Oh, yeah. So listeners, you know, find me on social medias, at my name, Manu Agapian. Come watch Winslow's on the Fridays at the UCB's Franklin. And I want to plug me, Betsy, and Adam McCabe are about to release a podcast called Horny for Horror.
Ooh,
nice.
Fun.
So, yeah, if you are horny for horror, find it.
Where can we, if we Google it, is that what'll come up? Or where is it?
Yeah, there's a website, hornyforhorror.com, and it should be in Apple Podcasts. Is that how that works?
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Cool.
Thanks so much, Mono.
This
great.
Is a blast. This absolutely flew by.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Quick.
Is it? Yeah.
You guys are the most fun. Thank you for having me. I will continue to be a fan and a friend for life.
This was.
Regardless of the podcast, you're a friend for life.
Fun.
Yay.
Yay.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.